اعلی حضرت امام احمد رضا، امام احمد رضا. Let's know who's اعلی حضرت.
الحمد لله رب العالمين والصلاة والسلام على سيد المرسلين اما بعد فاعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم الصلاة والسلام عليك يا رسول الله
الصلاة والسلام عليك يا رسول الله
وعلى آلك وأصحابك يا حبيب الله
وعلى آلك وأصحابك يا حبيب الله
الصلاة والسلام عليك يا نبي الله
الصلاة والسلام عليك يا نبي الله
وعلى آلك وأصحابك يا نور الله
وعلى آلك وأصحابك يا نور الله.
Welcome to our program, Who is Ala Hazrat? This program is all about learning about the life of this great Imam, the reviver of Islam, Ala Hazrat, Imam Ahmad Raza Khan, alayhi rahmatul rahman. Today, inshallah, we will be discussing a very important aspect of our great Imam. But before I do that, let me introduce you with our guest today. Alhamdulillah, we have our Ustad Habib Madani with us. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
Wa alaikum assalam wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuhu.
How are you doing, Ustad Sahab?
Allah ka karam, alhamdulillah, rabbil alameen, ala kulli hal.
First of all, big thanks, jazakallahu khaira, for blessing us in this beautiful program. Habib bhai, today we have a very important topic that we want to discuss. And the idea behind this short series is that there are a lot of people in our communities who are aware of Ala Hazrat. They've heard the name, they have love for this great personality, they have a brief understanding who he is. But when you ask them the basic questions, now if you ask them, who is Ala Hazrat? They won't be able to define it. If you ask them, how was his childhood? What did he do in life? What is he known for? And these are basic questions that a lot of us are not able to describe, and mainly is because we're not really aware of them, of the great personality. We've heard this name, you know, from the scholars during speeches. We've been inspired by this name, but this program is all about getting to know Ala Hazrat. So today, inshallah, our main focus will be to discuss the childhood of Ala Hazrat, rahmatullahi ta'ala alayhi. But before we do that, should we have a bare brief introduction to when did Ala Hazrat live?
Yeah, I think it's quite important because a lot of people, they might have heard the term Ala Hazrat, they might have heard his name, etc., but they don't really exactly know much about him. So I think a brief little intro, and then inshallah we'll go into his seerah. Though first of all, a lot of people might be asking, we say Ala Hazrat, Ala Hazrat, was that his name? So Ala Hazrat was not the name of this personality, but rather it is his title. So the scholars of Islam, especially the scholars around his time, and this is also another quality of this Imam as well, which I'm going to inshallah mention further on, that even the ulama-i kiram, the scholars of his time, even they used to call him Ala Hazrat. Now, what does Ala Hazrat mean? So Ala Hazrat, Ala in Arabic means the highest, and Hazrat is what is used to denote someone that's respectable. So when we say Ala Hazrat, this basically means the highest from amongst the respectable people. So this was the title that he was given by the scholars of Islam that were around him, the scholars of his era as well. Until today, people remember him by Ala Hazrat. But he himself never called himself this title or anything like this. This was the scholars that gave him and blessed him with this title as well. So one thing was with his title of Ala Hazrat. The second thing is, what is his actual name? So a bit of briefing regarding his actual name. So when he was born, and first of all, like you asked, which era was this sheikh from? So he was just past 102 years ago. So his actual name at birth was Muhammad.
Subhanallah.
So this was the birth given name. And a lot of people don't know this as well. The people who even know who he is, they don't actually really know, but his birth name was Muhammad, and he was then also given a few other names, meaning his grandfather and his father and his mother, they used to call him by other names. Like, for example, his grandfather used to remember him as Ahmed Reza. These were just different titles and different names that were given to him, but he's well known as Ahmed Reza. And he is actually from the Pathan Pashtun descent. So he's Ahmed Reza Khan. So that is his, you can say, his background in terms of his racial background. And he's very much known, in fact, himself, he calls himself Abdul Mustafa. So his name is Muhammad. He's known as Ahmed Reza, and he's from the Pashtun family. As well as this Abdul Mustafa, he calls himself. What does Abdul Mustafa mean?
The slave of Mustafa.
The slave of the chosen one, meaning Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. That was his love that he had. And from amongst that, his title that he used to use in his poetry and his works, Raza. So his, basically you can say, his second name.
When was Ala Hazrat born?
So Ala Hazrat rahmatullahi alayhi was born on the 10th of Shawwal, corresponding to 1272 after Hijri. And in the English date, it's 14th June. 1856. Yeah, quite a few years ago. And he was born at the time of Dhuhr Salah in a small little village called Jusuli in the city of Bareilly, which is in India.
So there's a famous saying that he derived his birth year from the verse of the Quran. What's the background to this?
There's a knowledge called Ilmul Jafar or Ilmul Adad, is also known as well. It's to do with numerical value in correspondence with the letter. So, for example, like you see 786, that is derived from a knowledge called Ilmul Jafar or Ilmul Adad, is also known as well. It's to do with numerical values in correspondence with the letter. So, for example, like you see 786, that is derived from the knowledge using Ilmul Adad.
So, each Arabic letter corresponds to a particular number.
So now doing some calculations, mathematical calculations, and using this knowledge, this science, he derived from a certain verse of the Holy Quran that his birth date is so-and-so in correspondence to that certain particular verse.
SubhanAllah. The front of me, I've got that verse
that
I want to share. If someone wants to open this from the Quran, part 28, Surah Mujadala, and it's verse number 22. Yeah, I'll read the verse as well. Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. أُولَٰئِكَ كَتَبَ فِي قُلُوبِهِمُ الْإِيمَانَ وَأَيَّدَهُمْ بِرُوحٍ مِّنْهُ. It is these upon whose hearts Allah has ingrained faith and has aided them with a spirit from His own. So from this particular verse, you know, the total number, the numerical value of the whole, all the letters of this verse, it comes to 1272. And that's the birth year of Ala Hazrat. SubhanAllah, that's amazing. You know, just imagine, you know, someone even today who has mastered this knowledge, that would be something special, something, because we don't really see that these days. Yeah, but this shows you that, you know, Ala Hazrat Imam Ahmed Reza Khan, rahmatullahi ta'ala alayhi, he had expertise in many fields. And just this particular field, if you look at it, that, you know, who would normally do that? You know, someone who actually has interest in this, he will read the verses of the Quran and then compare them with the numerical values and come up with some answers. Something beautiful. SubhanAllah, it's amazing. SubhanAllah.
I also just want to mention as well here that another name of Ala Hazrat, which he derived from using Ilmul Abjad, using the knowledge of the numerical values, is Al-Mukhtar. So Al-Mukhtar was also a name that was derived using this knowledge as well.
Habibi, if we look at generally, you know, when a person is born, then there's an era, you know, at least for 10 years, you know, under 10, the age of childhood. You know, a lot of kids, they are learning, they're developing, but very rarely you'll find someone who's, so you could say, like probably one in a million who's very unique, yeah, in intelligence, in picking things up.
In character as
In character as well. And whereas the majority of people, you know, it's that age of the life that you just enjoy, you have fun, you run around here and there. And it's like they say, it's the age of playing. Yeah. However, Ala Hazrat Rahmatullahi Ta'ala Alayhi, his upbringing was something different. There are many incidents that have happened in his young age that possibly that led him, you know, to this great path that he took on as a career in life as well. And, you know, any famous incident that you can remember from his young age?
I'll mention to you something that's even before his young age. So
before he was born?
Before he was even born.
SubhanAllah.
So, and this will show the level of what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has blessed him with.
Allah.
His father, Mawlana Naqi Ali Khan, who was also a great saint as well and a very famous scholar of Islam, who was also a mufti of his time. He had a dream when he was, when Ala Hazrat Rahmatullah Ali was about to be born. And in this dream, when he woke up, he was a little bit confused as to what the explanation or the summary of the dream was. So he went to his father, meaning the grandfather of Ala Hazrat, whose name was Ali Raza Khan. And he was also a very famous mufti of his time. People, a lot of people knew him in his area and in India. So what he said was that it's a very good news for you that a alim, a scholar will be born from your lineage and his knowledge will be spread far and wide. So this can be seen as well that even before the birth of Ala Hazrat Rahmatullah Alayhi, Imam Ahmad Raza Khan, those predictions of his upcoming and his vastness of knowledge going throughout the whole world as well.
So there's a famous incident that we hear from the scholars that at a young age, possibly when Ala Hazrat used to go to his Quran tutor to learn the Quran, and during that period, there was the time that his teacher was reciting some verses of the Quran, and Ala Hazrat was reciting it differently.
Yeah, once when Ala Hazrat was in his class, his teacher was reciting a verse of the Holy Quran, and a particular letter he was reciting it, and he was reciting it with a zabar. But when he told Ala Hazrat to repeat that certain verse, when he came to that letter, Ala Hazrat would recite it with a zair. So he will read it opposite to what the teacher is saying. So again, the teacher will say again that recite it with a zabar. He would again recite it with a zair. And again, persistently, this happened a few times. And Mawlana Raza Ali Khan, he was sat close by and he said that, you know, what is this problem going on? So he brought the Quran and he checked the mushaf and he checked the writing. And he noticed himself that in fact, there's been a mistake in terms of printing. And where the teacher was reciting with the zabar, that was actually wrong. But what Imam Ahmad Raza Khan was reciting was with the zair, that was in fact correct. So he was a bit surprised that, you know, why did this happen for? So his grandfather asked him that, Ahmad Raza, tell me, why did you keep on reciting it with the zair when the teacher was telling you to repeat it with a zabar? So Allah said that, look, I wanted to recite it with the zabar, but each time that I wanted to recite, it ended up being recited as a zair. So seeing this, he saw that this was a special child.
Possibly Ala Hazrat Rahmatullah Ta'ala was trying to recite the same words as the teacher, but his tongue was, you could say it was like controlled.
Controlled.
Yeah, he's struggling to say those words. And you know, if you look at the bigger sign to this is a sign that this child was being guided, you know, from Allah Ta'ala.
Allah Subhanahu wa Ta'ala. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala from a young age was keeping him safe from even these type of mistakes as well.
Subhanallah. Generally, you know, child wouldn't know, you know, if to read a zabar or a zayn. Yeah, you know, you just follow what your teacher says to you at that age. But you know, subhanallah, you know, I'm just thinking, you know, just imagine what would be going through on the teacher's mind when he heard this and when he became aware of this. And even the grandfather, you know, just imagine what, and his grandfather wasn't just a normal grandfather. He's an Islamic scholar. Yeah? And as a family, you know, you'll be so excited that you're blessed with a very unique child in the house. Yeah, and Allah Ta'ala has protected this child at a young age. This child is something special.
Definitely.
You know, like in life, as grandparents, you see your grandchildren, but you know that you very less likely you will see your own grandchildren in their adulthood. Yeah, or in the late age, you won't really see them because, you know, as life goes, you pass away.
Yeah.
But just imagine, you know, as a grandfather, you know, he will probably be thinking this child is something special, and inshallah, you know, when he grows big, he could do something extraordinary as well. Yeah, you know, just imagine the happiness, you know, on the face and in the heart of this great, you know, grandfather. May Allah Ta'ala have mercy on his resting place.
Amen.
Subhanallah. No, regarding this Ala Hazrat childhood, you know, it starts from, you know, right at a young age where, you know, a normal child when he recites the Quran in a madrasa, you know, it takes, you know, someone 2-3 years, 4 years sometimes to complete the whole Quran. You know, and by the age of 9 or 10, they get to read the Quran, yeah, or complete the Quran.
And before that is actually the, you know, this, the learning of the Arabic.
The learning of Arabic. Yeah. And subhanAllah, Ala Hazrat Rahmatullahi Ta'ala Alayhi, he completed the recitation of the Holy Quran by the age of 4.5 years.
SubhanAllah.
Can you imagine? 4.5 years old child is completely read the whole Quran.
SubhanAllah.
This is something extraordinary. Yeah, something very special. And not just this, at the age of 6, this young child, Ala Hazrat Rahmatullahi Ta'ala Alayhi, he delivered a very in-depth speech on the topic of Miladun Nabi, the birth of Rasulullah Sallallahu Ta'ala Alayhi Wasallam. And this speech wasn't just in their own house. This speech was in front of a very large audience. And in that audience, there were scholars as well, great, noble, knowledgeable individuals.
I think it said that it was literally like 2 hours long.
Yes, SubhanAllah. I read that somewhere as well, that like it was around 2 hours long. And just imagine a six-year-old.
Exactly, yeah.
A six-year-old standing up and delivering a speech.
On one topic as well. Amazing.
That shows you that, you know, this is, you know, although we're looking at one side of the moment, the great talent of Ala Hazrat, even at a young age, on the other side, there's something else that we normally neglect. You know, they say there's always someone behind a successful person. And someone in the household, if someone is having great achievements, definitely there's someone in the house who's actually keeping a close eye, who's making sure, you know, everything is in place as far as his upbringing is concerned, his education is concerned, and especially his Islamic education.
Yeah.
Yeah, and definitely if you look at and look and study the life of Ala Hazrat Rahmatullahi Ta'ala, you'll see that his honorable father, Maulana Naqi Ali Khan Rahmatullahi Ta'ala, a great father, he was, you could say, he played a big role in his upbringing. Yeah, you know, definitely these great individuals, you could say he was born in a house of scholars.
Yeah.
In the house of ulama.
His father was a scholar, his grandfather was a scholar, and then later on, his own generation became
generation, yeah, brothers.
Till today, they're all
scholars. They had great names.
Yeah.
They had great names of their own time. And even up to now, you know, subhanAllah, that house, that family is the heartbeat of possibly millions and millions of Muslims around the world.
Definitely.
Yeah, subhanAllah. So at the age of 6, yeah, we were talking about earlier, at the age of 6, delivering a 2-hour speech and then in-depth discussion on the topic of Miladun Nabi, of the Prophet sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wasallam. This is unique. And you know, when he delivered this speech, even the ulama who was present, you know,
they were astonished as well.
They were astonished. They appreciated this great effort. I'm sure they would have done so much dua for this child
as well.
They knew something special was coming.
And you know, there's actually a story that's been mentioned as well, that once when Ala Hazrat Ali was really young, very young, they saw that a person came into the Bareilly city. And he was wearing like some Arab clothing, Arab attire. And what he did was, he came up to Ala Hazrat Rahmatullah Alayhi and he started to converse with him in Arabic. And Ala Hazrat Rahmatullah Alayhi was very young then. First of all, it's a completely separate language from what Ala Hazrat Rahmatullah Alayhi speaks. And secondly, he's at such a young age that, you know, even just about knowing his own language was a big achievement. Well, seeing that Ala Hazrat Rahmatullahi Alayhi was speaking Arabic with this certain person that came, it was amazing. And people around them, they were very shocked that, you know, this young boy, how is he speaking Arabic? And they were really amazed at this as well. This is definitely one of the karamas, the one of the miracles, the marvels of Imam Muhammad Reza Khan.
There's another very famous incident that took place in his life. At the age of 6, Ala Hazrat Rahmatullahi Ta'ala became aware that this particular direction is towards the great shrine of the Sultan of Awliya, the great individual who is known as Sheikh Abdul Qadir Jilani. In our area, we refer him as Ghaus-e-Pak or Ghaus al-Azam radiallahu ta'ala anhu. So he became aware that this particular direction is towards Baghdad, the city in Iraq. And from that moment, when he became aware, from that moment, the ulama have written that he never stretched his legs towards that direction. Out of love or respect for Huzur Ghawse Pak, Sheikh Abdul Qadir Jilani,
Rahmatullah.
You know, as a six-year-old,
such a tender age and such a high level of respect.
Subhanallah.
You know, it shows how high his maturity was even at that age as well.
Allahu Akbar,
and some people Allah. Might question, you know, what is this facing your feet to, not facing your feet towards
the elderly person or shaykh? Yeah.
But in fact, it's actually from the Salaf, Imam Abu Hanifa, Rahmatullah Alayh. It's recorded about him that he wouldn't face his legs towards his teacher, Imam Hammad. In fact, not just towards his teacher, but towards the house of his teacher. So this is following in the footsteps of the Salaf.
You know, that's what, you know, we hear this from elders and scholars. The adab, the respect is something very important in your life. Yeah, and you know, looking at this incident, 6 year old, he has this understanding that because this particular direction is towards Baghdad, therefore I will not stretch my legs that way. You know, just knowing this shows you, you know, his nurturing, his upbringing, and what parents have instilled in his heart.
Definitely.
Yeah, the love of awliya, the great saints, the great scholars of Islam.
A very famous Urdu proverb comes into my mind listening to this baqiya, that ba adab, ba naseeb. And be adab, bad naseeb. That the one who is ba adab, someone who is respectable, then he's the one that will attain. He is the one that will get the ranks. He will the one that will be getting the success. But the one who is bay adab, who is disrespectful, then he will be the one that is disgraced, or the one that won't be successful.
Allahu Akbar, Allahu Akbar. May Allah make us and all the viewers who are watching, may Allah make us from those who have honor and respect, especially for ulama, scholars of deen, because these are personalities who sacrifice their lives in learning education. And after their graduation, they spend the whole life in service of Islam as well. Subhanallah. Another aspect of Ala Hazrat's childhood is that from a very young age, he was extremely passionate about Salah. Regularly, he used to pray Salah with Jama'at. And not just with Jama'at, he used to regularly visit the masjid and read namaz with Takbir Ula, the first Takbir. That shows you that, you know, Ala Hazrat Rahmatullahi Ta'ala Alayhi would get ready for Salah before the time. Yeah, you know, normally, you know, if someone wants to make sure that he joins the Takbir Ula in the masjid, then he would definitely have to do wuzu 15-20 minutes before and make sure he's on his way to the masjid, he's waiting for the Jama'at. You know, a 6-7 year old having that passion, yeah, this is what is probably missing in our households as well. Yeah, this is something that we need to keep an eye that, look, parents of Ala Hazrat put a lot of effort, no, in nurturing and giving him the right upbringing. Yeah, and that, look, we could see the result in his later life. Even in the childhood as well, but especially in the legacy that he's left behind. Even now, if you look at this program that we are doing, you know, over 102 years since he passed away, we are still remembering him. We are still inspired by him. Now, whenever we hear about him, we're talking about his childhood, and that's enlightening our hearts. Yeah, just imagine when we talk about, inshallah, in the future programs, when we talk about his achievements and great legacies that he's left behind and his services for deen and his love for Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, just imagine what impact it's going to have on our heart.
Definitely. You know what thing is, it's mentioned by the scholar as well, that a child is like a blank slate. So whatever you instill in that child or engrave into that child, it will stay on that child for the rest of his life. And you can see that in Ala Hazrat's life, like at that young age, being such, you know, paabandh, such adherent to Salah, not missing not even one, it's said that it's as if he was even sahib tardeeb, meaning someone that has not even missed any Salah. That was the level of how much he used to be punctual to Salah. So because at a young age, he was punctual of Salah, so later on in his life, it wasn't a difficult action for him to do. It was something part of his routine, part of his habit, that I'm going to be praying Salah.
Subhanallah. No, Habib bhai, there's another aspect of our deen, which is modesty. You know, having, you know, modesty in the eyes in particular. Yeah, you know, there's like a barrier or a line between what you can do or what you can look and what you can't look. Yeah. In general, you know, Muslim adults are told to not look at the opposite gender. So Muslim men should lower their gaze if they see any strange woman.
Yes, Quranic, it's a Quranic
command. It's a verse from the Quran. It's a command of Allah Ta'ala. Yeah. Similarly, for ladies are also given the same command that, you know, you must keep your gaze lowered. So you shouldn't be, you know, mixing with each other, and you should keep, you know, your gaze lowered and be modest. And this particular aspect you can actually see from the life of Ala Hazrat in his young age as well. It is said that if any woman, you know, came in front of him, you know, he would look down. He was a child. Just imagine, you know, some ladies are walking past and he's just looking down. You know, this is called his deep love for the Sunnah of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. You know, what these values mean to him. Yeah. You know, whenever a lady goes past, he wouldn't stare at that person. He wouldn't look around, forget talking to that person. He would look down. So even at the age of, you know, 6, 7, 8 year old, as a child, he was aware of these rules. Yeah, this is something, you know, beautiful aspect of the life of Ala Hazrat. May Allah Almighty bless our parents today as well to have that type of mindset. Mm-hmm. That, you know, it's not just about giving the best of clothes to your children. It's not just about giving them the best foods, the best fruits, you know, giving
the best games, the best or games. Whatever.
It's not just this. There's more to it. Yeah. You know, especially those who are Muslims, I'm talking to you, Muslim parents should take this a responsibility. In fact, if you look at the importance of giving the correct upbringing to a child, compare this from 100 or 200 years ago and now. Now is a time that it's more important for us.
Yeah.
No, we cannot ignore this. Yeah, because if you don't give the right upbringing to your children at the young age, then you're leaving them to the world. And the challenges that they're going to face in their teenage, in the adult, you know, life, you're not getting them ready.
It's unfortunately, it's an ongoing, you can say, an issue. Because the main reason is that our own parents, the parents of today's day and age, the main reason is that the parents of today's day and age, they themselves are not adherent of the Sharia. They themselves are not following the Sharia. So because they aren't doing that, in that order, it's making the child then also not follow the Sharia. Because the child does what the parent does. And then because the child, when he gets older, he won't be in the dini mindset. He won't have the religious upbringing. So he's going to continue doing his bad things. And then that will pass down to his child. And then ongoing, that train of sins or that generation of a bad upbringing will continue throughout the generations. So there needs to be someone that makes a quick change, and that change will then bring a change in the next generation as well. Now you can see Ala Hazrat, rahmatullah alayhi, his father was a mufti, his grandfather was a mufti, and then he himself was amazing mufti, okay, the biggest of muftis, and then his ongoing generation, they're all scholars.
Subhanallah.
And you will see that as well, that many people that have changed their lives and have become ulama or have gone towards the Islamic lifestyle, their generation then ongoing, they'd also be religious as well.
Subhanallah. Now, as we are talking about the childhood of Ala Hazrat, so when did officially Ala Hazrat become a mufti?
So this point is something which everyone mentions because it's such an amazing point. And no matter how many times you mention it, it still amazes you each time. Especially those that understand the level of mufti. That first of all, you know, I'll just give you an example of myself or students that are studying religious knowledge. Those that go through the alim course, they will have to first complete a 6-year course, which is actually a reduced course. It was actually 8 years. And even before that, in the time of Al Hazrat, it was actually more than that.
Possibly 12 years.
Probably 12
well.
Years, yeah. And after completing 12 years, then they will go more into the religious field and spend another good few years studying even more. After that, this person still doesn't become a mufti. He still has to go under another mufti and take guidance from him, be under his guidance, making sure that any answers that he does, any answers he answers, it gets checked by his teacher, who is also mufti, And then when that his teacher feels that he's comfortable enough, then he will give the permission of him becoming a Mufti. So that's basically, you can say, a good 20 years of a person's life, an average person's life, in becoming a from a scholar to a Mufti. And then let me explain now that Ala Hazrat Rahmatullah Ali, just at a very tender age of 13 years, 10 months, and 4 days, Ala Hazrat Imam Ahmad Raza Khan Rahmatullah Ali graduated and also gave his first verdict, his first fatwa at that tender age as well.
SubhanAllah. 13 years of age. You know, I'm just thinking again, in today's time, someone was a 13-year-old teenager. Now, he would never know, you know, the basics of deen.
Yeah.
You know, like we have, there's a basic fiqh book called Laws of Salah. Yeah. You know, many teenagers, you know, they probably haven't read that book.
Just the simple, like the simple things, faraiz of wudu, they probably wouldn't even know.
They wouldn't know. Yeah, and
they probably wouldn't even know what does faraid mean.
and you know, where we live now in this day and age, you know, 2021, this era is known for technology. It's known for the smart generation. Yeah, you can learn knowledge from different sources, and it's become so easy for you.
Gold on the plate.
Yeah, it's on the plate. Yeah, SubhanAllah. But even in this age, you know, and you compare the, you know, childhood of Ala Hazrat, you know, he was way far. He was so advanced, 150 years ago. SubhanAllah, where, you know, even we being in the latest era of technology, even then, you know, we're so behind. Yeah, and
you know, today's day and age, unfortunately, we're so lacking of knowledge. And even though it's the easiest thing that we can attain, you know, just on sitting on your phone, in your home, you can be sat on your phone and you can study the Quran, you can study Islam. But Ala Hazrat Rahmatullah Alayhi, or the scholars of the past, they had to travel so many miles, so many months of travel, just to for like one hadith, or just for studying with one teacher. And even today, we don't appreciate that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has made it so easy for us, so accessible for us to learn the knowledge of Islam, and we're still lacking.
SubhanAllah, I remember once reading that Ala Hazrat Rahmatullah Alayhi, when he used to go in the court of his teacher to study knowledge, his teacher used to give the full lecture, and Ala Hazrat Rahmatullah Alayhi would go over the lesson once or twice, then close the book. The next day, when the teacher would ask questions or would do a test, yeah, Ala Hazrat Rahmatullah Alayhi would describe the whole topic or the whole lecture word by word.
Allahu Akbar.
And as a teacher, he would be amazed. You know, it took me so long to prepare the lecture and to deliver in front of you, and you just read a few times, and you're able to, you know, match the words as well. You know, this is something extraordinary, and to a level that he was once said by the teacher that, please tell me, are you a human or a jinn? Because this, obviously, it was extraordinary. You know, you wouldn't see that in a child, in a young, you know, teenage. You know, you won't see that type of talent. This is just, you know, like they say,
it was like photographic memory, basically. Like
photographic memory. Yeah, you know, you just read something, and then, you know, it just stays in your mind, and then you can read word by word. SubhanAllah. You know, this great individual, the personality that we are talking about, you know, just imagine, you know, how much effort their parents have put in. You know, we're moving on towards the final part of today's program, and I want to discuss more about upbringing children, which we did touch earlier on as well, but a bit more, some lessons that we can take in as children who are watching this program, or the adults who are watching this program. You know, what could we do different, you know, in our time, in the childhood? One thing that, you know, from this particular program that I've learned is that Ala Hazrat Rahmatullahi Ta'ala Alayhi, as a child, and his parents, all these people who were involved in his life, his teachers, all these individuals, they made sure that the time of Ala Hazrat did not go to waste. Yeah? You know, in a young age, where most of your time could go into playing, running around, just doing nothing.
Letting
the time go waste. Yeah. But these people who were around this great Imam at a young age, and they helped him to nurture and to have the right upbringing, they made sure that he valued his time, and they made sure they instilled that love in his heart as well. That, you know, and not just this, it's dedication. You know, especially, you know, if there's anyone who's watching, and if you actually do put effort in with Islamic education for your children, if you actually give your own, you know, personal time to them as well, you realize how difficult it is. Because it's not a matter of just doing it one day or 2 days or two, three times in a week or giving 1 hour here and there. It's continuous effort. You have to be on top of your children's education. You have to be concerned. And you have to have, if I were to call it, you have to have like targets. You have to set some targets for your child, and you need to make sure that your child achieves. At the same time, you don't want to overburden your child as well. Now, what would you say to parents?
It is quite a tricky and hard thing to do. Definitely, as a parent, it would be very hard to analyze the child and see his performance and then give targets and see how well he can perform as well. So that is all to do with how well you know your child. So if you know your child very well, you can then see his abilities, then assess that and give a good or an accurate estimation of what things he needs to achieve and by when as well. And the only way that we can achieve that is by knowing your child. And unfortunately, in today's young age, we don't give time to our children. That is probably one of the reasons why the children are so far away from the religion and so far away from the parents that they don't give time to the child. So we need to try to start giving time to our children. And secondly, I want to also mention a point for those who are looking to get married, because this program might be for everyone, or youth that are looking to get married. I mentioned a point of Imam Ahmad Reza Khan, what he himself says as well, that the first point or the first level of a child's upbringing starts even way before you're even married. It starts when you're finding a spouse. Find a mother that could be the mother of your child. Find someone that could be the mother of your child that is that capable, that can upbring a child as well on an Islamic level.
You could probably say, you know, in these words, that the first right of a child is that you give him a good mother.
Brilliant. Brilliantly put.
And that is something that, you know, a lot of people who are looking for a match, you know, looking for a marriage, they don't really consider this. Inshallah, she will be the mother of your children. And it could be the other side as well. Yeah, the lady who's getting married, yeah, she's marrying with the person
who will become
the father of the children as well. So can you imagine, is that the ideal person to be the father of your children or the mother of your children? That is something that we definitely need to look at, because, you know, your parents' role cannot be underestimated. Yeah, they definitely play a massive role in the upbringing of children. And what happens in their later life is possibly, you could say, decided in a young age. You know, they say by the age of 7 or 8, you know, as a child, whatever has been instilled in your mind, whatever image that you have of life and whatever direction you have, whatever skills or the basis of those skills that you have in your life, these are the skills you will have in your whole life. And whichever field you choose possibly could be linked to your childhood.
The interest
that you had at that age. And, you know, if we as parents, you know, take this responsibility seriously and make sure that we give the right upbringing to our children, we give them the best upbringing to the children, and inshallah, these children will become a means of coolness to our eyes. These children will become a means of ongoing charity, sadaqah jariyah, for us, even when we passed away as well.
Inshallah.
Yeah, you know, when you realize, those parents who are watching this, you will understand this, that when if your loved one have passed away, yeah, if it's any of your parents or anyone from your elders who have passed away, then on that occasion you realize that if you had Islamic knowledge, then you would want to make sure that you fulfill the rights of the deceased in the best way, yeah, which is the burial. Before the burial is, you know, giving the bath, the ghusl, then the shrouding, then janaza, and then
the burial.
And even after the burial as well, you know, remembering them, making dua for them, doing isal al-sawab, you know, doing charity on their behalf. And, you know, this is an ongoing work. And definitely, you know, parents should really look the life of Ala Hazrat and take this lesson that, you know, we need to put more effort in, and, you know, to give our better education to our children, inshallah. Habib bhai, I really enjoyed it today. MashaAllah, today we had a very in-depth discussion about the childhood of Ala Hazrat. And I hope, inshallah, the viewers of Madani channel, you've enjoyed this program as well. Inshallah, in the coming programs, we are going to talk about different aspects of the life of Sayyidi Ala Hazrat Imam Ahmad Raza Khan, rahmatullahi ta'ala alayhi. And the idea behind this particular series, Who is Ala Hazrat? The objective of this particular series is that we want to enlighten the hearts and we want to make you more aware of the great personality of Ala Hazrat. You know, we want you to really, you know, we do admire him, but we want you to, you know, admire him the more, you know, because the more you know about him, you will really understand his greatness. Yeah, and inshallah, hopefully, do dua that we can fulfill this purpose as well, inshallah. So until then, inshallah, keep watching Madani channel. Keep yourself busy in good things. Sallu ala al-habib, sallallahu ta'ala ala Muhammad, sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa alihi wa sallam.
Ala Hazrat, ala Hazrat, Imam Ahmad Rida, Imam Ahmad Rida. Let's know who is Allah.